Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Bonjour tout le monde. It's another day to make an impact and to change the world. Pretty excited about today's episode. A lot of you have reached out to ask me to share some of the occasional content that I do outside of here. And this particular one is an interview that I did in our Facebook group. And if you want to join, I'll make sure that that's available in the show notes. And you can click there and then you get access to the group. But in the group, we do a lot of masterminds. We do a lot of masterclasses. And in this particular one, I share my actual journey to my speaking career, how I got to the point where I speak 50 to 60 times a year. And so I hope you enjoy it. There will be some elements of my story that you already know if you're a loyal fan. And there will be elements that you might not have known about my life. So I hope this is a doozy for you. But I also hope that you're able to get away with some actionable tips. Please continue to leave the 5-star reviews and comments on iTunes. I always love reading your comments. And I just want to thank you. Thank you all. You're amazing. Enjoy the episode.
And we are live. Yes. Live in the Facebook group. Woohoo!
Welcome, everybody.
Yes. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh, man. Wow.
So we have like a special treat for everybody today. We're going to be interviewing the one, the only, Tayo Roxon.
Yeah. Oh, man, it feels so weird to be on the other side. You were saying this yesterday, but yeah, I definitely feel like it's me on the spot here. But I'm excited. Mm-hmm. You said it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really, really good. And we'll just wait for some peeps to hop on real quick. But as people are hopping on and getting the notification on Facebook, if you're watching the replay, feel free to comment team replay. If you're hopping on live, feel free to comment live. Oh, yeah. What's up? What's up? And as you're hopping on live, feel free to comment live. How we set up these masterclasses and these interviews is, it's very interactive. So if you guys have any questions at all throughout the whole talk, if you have any insights or mind blown moments where you're like, oh my gosh, that was so interesting, feel free to comment in the comment section below. We're going to show your comments in this live video, and it'll be in the recording. Yay! Yeah. What's up, Tracy?
Hey. Oh, whoa, everyone is here.
Yes, see, everybody's hopping on. Dane's like, yes. Awesome, awesome.
Pleasure to meet you all. Wow, yeah. Okay, you know, I have a tough act to follow because, you know, it was you yesterday. So I'm going to make sure I bring you. but yeah, no, I'm pretty excited to share and honored that we have so many new members.
Mm-hmm.
We have over like 112 since between yesterday and today. It's insane. Yep. So thank you all and welcome. So this would be an introduction of sorts, but I'm ready whenever you are.
Alrighty. So we are like pretty much good to go. So let's start off with your story. So what was your tipping point into entrepreneurship?
Oh gosh, I have to take you way back. So, how did I get into this? Well, you know, like most trajectories in life, my life begins with some sort of pain. You know, started with me spending the first 9 years of my life in and out of a military dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Nigeria, and we have at least 250 ethnic groups. And during that period, several tribes were vying for ethnic domination. Mm-hmm. You know, reporters were being exiled for saying their opinions. People were being assassinated left and right. So it was just a time of chaos. And then in 1999, I remember Nigeria as a country transitioned into a civilian government. And so, you know, all of the international sanctions around her start to come down. And with those sanctions coming down, my dad's job as a diplomat was now super important because we were now beginning to repair all our relationships with countries all over the world. And mm-hmm. that meant that we would start traveling to different parts of the world. And we traveled so much that by the time I was 18, I had lived in 5 countries and 4 continents. I remember my first encounter with actual difference. Like it was yesterday. I was mm-hmm. this skinny Nigerian kid with a thick Nigerian accent in a French speaking country in an American international school going through puberty. And so in a place where everyone was already different, I felt different. You know, I had an identity crisis of sort. I felt inferior. I felt like I had to wear a mask. But I remember I would find solace in, you know, Nelson Mandela's story. At the time, mm-hmm. he was helping South Africa move, you know, as a freedom fighter from apartheid. And then at the Oprah Winfrey show, I would mm-hmm. always watch that after all my Nickelodeon and Disney shows. I would watch that. And I always felt at home when I watched or studied these two. And it was right then and there that I sort of resolved to be this global leader of some sort. The tender what age of 10.
What were your friendships like?
Yeah, I mean, at that time, it was interesting because, you know, like I said, it was this mm-hmm. this guy who was very different. So friendships were interesting because I needed to find my connectors. And so it was initially rough, but then I figured out to make friends through sports and things that I liked. But initially, no, I you know, it was tough for me to just find people that I could trust. So that's why, you know, like the Oprah and the Nelson Mandela were people I felt I could relate to because I felt like an outsider. And then gradually, the more I became, mm-hmm. you know, I came into my own. It was something that I got better at. But that's why I'm saying, you know, when we started yesterday with a challenge, you know, when I was 10 and I saw these things and I felt lonely and I felt, you know, like I didn't have any friends. Mm-hmm. My goal then was to make sure people all over the world were heard, seen, mm-hmm. and understood because I didn't feel heard, seen, or understood. I didn't want people to feel that way. You know, you feel that way from a dictatorship. You find yourself in all these environments. And so it's very important for you to understand your rants and raves. That was mm-hmm. that was the thing yesterday because I go on rants about injustice because I initially experienced that growing up. I rave about people that push despite all odds with their own stories and overcome obstacles because those are things I cared about. That was me as a kid. And those are all the people that I did. So that's phase one. You know, that's basically my childhood. But when I came to America for college, I had a strong sense of my identity by then. By this time, mm-hmm. I sort of really said, I'm this kid who's sort of everywhere, minority everywhere it goes, and I'm okay with that. I was so gung-ho and changing the world. Little did I know that the world had other intentions in mind. During my graduation year, I applied to over 85 jobs.
Yeah.
85 jobs. And they all said no. I was devastated. I mean, they were telling me I was too young. You know, I was not experienced. They didn't mm-hmm. sponsor. They didn't sponsor visas. Essentially, I needed as a foreigner. I don't know if a lot of people here are foreigners, but I needed a job to sponsor my visa for me to stay in the United States legally. And a lot of companies mm-hmm. at the time, at least in my city where I was in Virginia, weren't having it. So I started to reach out to companies that had hired me before as an intern to say, hey, would you give me a chance? And luckily one of them said yes. And you know, I was now put into the H-1B lottery. Basically, out of over 200,000 people applying for these visa, they only issue out 65,000 of those. Mm-hmm. And so they were very small odds. But luckily, I got it. Luckily, I got it. And everyone was happy. I remember I was Skyping mm-hmm. my mom, was Skyping dad saying, hey, I'm in America. I'm going to be here for like the next 2 years. And they're like, my son is in America. Look at him. He has done it. Sent our oldest son there. And, you know, in the midst of all this hysteria, there was one kicker. this job mm-hmm. wasn't what I wanted to do. It had nothing. It was not in a world I had imagined for myself. You know, mm-hmm. I had imagined doing things on a global level, helping people across cultures, helping people discover their inner gifts. But I was now lost in this world that I never even imagined for myself. I was doing sales at an e-learning company. I had a quota for $10,000, and that was my monthly quota. And so the lesson here is, do not get lost in the world you never defined for yourself. Don't let the world define you. Right? Yeah. Don't let the world define you. It's a weird feeling. It was a weird feeling. Because on the one hand, you had a type of visa that's rare. And on the other hand, you're doing something you don't want to do. So I felt stuck, you know, and that was until one day. It was August 22, 2012. You know this story so much because I talk about it all the time. But I was driving to the same place of work, and you know, as the lane merged into the highway, I hit my accelerated pedal.
Can I ask you something? What was your experience while you were driving to work?
It was just a normal day that day. There was no. I didn't, you know, that's the thing that happens with these type of experiences. You just drive. I sort of just resigned that this was going to be the next six years of my life. And so, yeah, I was just driving to work. And once I stepped on the accelerator pedal and got on the highway, this car lost control and then cut my lane to half. And then here I was swerving all over the road just to make sure I don't get hit. You know, I was smashing into the left guardrail, the right guardrail. One car, boom, two cars, boom, back to left guardrail. And then the car, you know, perpendicular, about to flip over the bridge. I'm 22 years old, and I only have one question that comes to mind. And it's the same thing. It's like, well, have you done everything you said you were going to do? And I hadn't. And, you know, I was face-to-face with my mortality, and I hadn't done anything. I thought this was about to be it. And my instincts kicked in, slammed my brakes, and somehow managed to get out of the car. But my car was totaled. Two cars were hit. There was debris everywhere. Cars zoomed past me, and I was okay. And I took that as a sign. It was a scary moment. And the question you just asked, what was I thinking? I wasn't thinking anything. I was like, this is just a normal day of work. But that moment really woke me up, because I had once again basically almost lost my life. And I was like, what could have happened if I had just gone? I wouldn't have done anything I did. And so I resolved to quit my job shortly after that and change my environment. And so many people, a lot of you here, if you're thinking about building a speaking career or being that entrepreneur you want to be, are you assessing your current mindset and your current environment? If is it suitable to what you said you wanted to do? So I needed to change my mindset and change my environment. My environment at the moment was keeping me in an area where I felt complacent. So I need to do something. Uncomfortable. So I quit the job, moved to New York City, nothing but a dream and a vision. I just went to school there and made New York City my campus. And I began the process of re-owning my story. And that's how every true speaking career starts. If you're able to truly own your story, that's how your credibility is formed. And so as I started to re-own my story, I started to look deep down into who I was, you know, who is Tayo Roxon? What makes him Tayo? And so I was like, okay, people have always said you're too young, you're too this, you're too that. But what is it that you can take and truly no one can say? So I was like, all right, at the time I was 23. I was like, 23, you've lived in all these countries and you've had these unique experiences. Why don't you just write from that truth? So I would just start to write stories about, you know, what it meant to be a minority everywhere, what it meant to be a nomad, and what I, you know, the teaching moments I had. And I found that there was a community. Yeah. And I found that there was a community called TCK. And TCK is short for Third Culture Kids. And Third Culture Kids refer to people that spent the formative periods of their lives outside of their parents' cultures. So these are missionary kids, diplomatic kids like me, people that just, you know, kids of all these people that end up having different identities. And I just resolved to be like the guy that provided value for this group. And so I joined all the Facebook groups. I joined all the newsletters, and I just started writing articles and sharing all my thoughts. And pretty soon I became known in that community because I was, you know, I was constantly getting a lot of people saying, that was me. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. And I was like, okay, wow, this is, gosh, I don't feel alone for once in my life. I was like, we were connected. And then I decided to sort of elevate that into a podcast. And the whole concept of the podcast was was interesting. I love Twitter, and I used this hashtag of this community, TCK, and I typed that in on Twitter, and a bunch of search results came up. And basically, anyone that identified as TCK in their bio, I reached out to them and said, "Hey, I want to tell your story. Would you be interested? I've been thinking of doing a podcast." And I went from the guy that had over 85 no's to 85 yeses. And people, I was like, "Ah, you said yes." Yep. But I didn't know how to create a freaking podcast. I was like, "What? Okay." I was just sort of putting that out there. I didn't think you would respond. And so I quickly took a course in podcasting, launched the podcast. And that's the other thing. So once you start to, you change your mindset, you decide that you're going to be this thought leader speaker, you've owned your story, you start to build your credibility, you need to start figuring out channels to disseminate your message. And so I started with writing. And now I continue to write, but then I even made it a more 3D experience with podcasting. And so the podcasting gave me this platform to sort of share more stories from people in different parts of the world. I would Skype people all different time zones. It's funny, I took school at night for my MBA, and I'll be running around the city to try and catch someone to do an interview with someone in Singapore because the time zone was different. And I'll remember I'll run home and people are like, "Where are you running up to? We got to do happy hour." I was like, "I just got to catch an interview." and then they're like, "You're interviewing what?" So that kept happening. And over a period of time, I started to get more comfortable asking questions and figuring out information. And then I remember going to bed one time, someone sent me a congratulations, a message. And I was like, "Wow, for what?" And then they said, "Hey, you just made the number two business podcast in 2014. And they sent me the link. And I was like, "What?" And they're like, "Yeah, man, people love your podcast." Mm-hmm. And I'd never seen my podcast as a business podcast. I was just sort of telling people stories. And it was crazy to me because the people that compiled the list obviously had seen it as a way to sort of do business from a different perspective. And that's when I began to really start to understand that I had a community. And so you've changed your environment, changed your mindset. You started to work in your story to build your credibility, figured out your channels to disseminate. Now, as you build a community, you need to poll your community to ask, what ways can I provide value for? So I started to really build more of a relationship with them and said, what type of stuff do you want to hear? They wanted to hear more entrepreneur stories. They wanted to hear ways that they could use their identity crisis like I had to turn that into gifts. What vehicles can they attach their messages to? So I started to really just gather all this information. And so many of you out here already have Facebook groups that you have, already have, five, 10 people that listen to you, we'll focus on providing value for them. And so I started to do that. And then, and then basically I started to practice what I was preaching. Essentially, when I was getting all these people and I started to get these accolades from people like entrepreneurs, I was like, "Well, I'm just going to go write up a guide and talk about it in a video." Like, I'll talk about it, I'll practice it. So I started to do that. And then one person on one of my listeners said, "Hey, have you ever thought about speaking?" I was like, "Nope, never did. Don't even know what I'm doing right now." but he's like, "Yeah, no, you should really speak. I've been listening to you for a while. And a lot of what you say, many people need to hear it." So, and then he said, "As a matter of fact, I have a contact at the World Bank. They're not paying anything, but I just think it might be good for you to just put yourself out there." And so, obviously, you're freaking out. You're like, "Wait, what? I've never spoken before. I only talk for the podcast." And then, so I took a shot. I reached out to them and said, "Hey, this is me. Looks like you've got a bunch of fellow diplomatic kids that I just want to tell my story." And so I nervously hit send, and they said, "Yes, could you make it to DC at this time?" I was like, "Sure, I'll make it to DC." And then I made it to DC, and then I did it, and then luckily they liked it and they started to say, "Oh, yo, you should continue to do this more." And, initially you might not make money, whatever, but just keep doing a lot of this stuff and you get better. And then, so I just kept doing it. And then, I started to learn the power of leverage because at this point, if you put a pause in my story, I had written for a while. I had a podcast that was gaining some audience. I can now say I'd spoken at the World Bank, even though it wasn't really, there was no money. And the next step for me was I was graduating from my MBA. I didn't want to do a job I hated anymore. So I had to figure out what can I do with all these things. And so I had to learn how to quantify my work. So everyone listening, how do you quantify your work? My audience is in X amount of countries is what I started to say. I've spoken at this place, this, I've written this, I've been featured that. I would love to now do the same thing to your audience. So I identified, I basically, this is very important when you're trying to identify your market, is who are the people that need you, who are the people that need your solution, right? Who are the people that would benefit from that, and how can you help them solve the problem? So who are you selling to? What makes them want to buy? And then what solution are you presenting? And so I started to do that more and more. And then markets started to pop up. I thought maybe it was internationalizations. It was interesting. I was getting 50-50. Yeah, yeah. I thought maybe it was schools, 50-50, organizations.
So we have the
50-50.
Yeah. Is how you started?
Yes. Yeah. So I initially it was just, it was a lot of all those free gigs and leveraging the audience because people were enamored with the story. But then I started to learn, like I said, I started to learn how to leverage where it was out of desperation where you're graduating from college, you don't want to do a job, even though you have an MBA, and your parents are telling you, okay, we gave you 2 years to sort of dance around your podcast in. You better come back to the real world. And I was like, no, I'm going to be stubborn. And so out of that, I just reached out to all the people and companies started to tell me, I started to listen to my audience. They started to say, well, I don't know how to communicate with people that are different from me. I create a solution for that. I don't know how to communicate my passion. My kid doesn't know how to communicate his passion because he's always grown up in all these areas. And so I just started to reach out to the international students, people like me, I was an international student, and companies that had people from different backgrounds. And I said, let me help you do that. And I did a bunch of initial free stuff. I had great testimonials from them. And what I started to do was once I had these testimonials and free stuff, I reached out to their competitors and said, hey, I did it at your competitor's place. And this is what they said about it. Would you want me to do the same thing to you? And they were like, yeah.
Guys, this is how you get the first paid opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like how you get that. So perfect. Perfect. And also too, what's really huge in everything that you've been saying on this call is your experiences led up to your ability to then speak around what you experienced. Right? So you're able to have conversations, you're able to support an audience, you're able to speak with power in front of an audience because you really understand your own experience and you understand the experiences of people who are going through something similar. And something that was so huge, just focusing on some strategy that you pointed out right here, especially to answer like Yamil's question, is you tested things out first and you tested out what worked uniquely for you. So for everybody, if you are listening right here, you might have a different journey. You might have a different way of approaching things. Test things out, figure out what works for you, and then leverage those results for other opportunities. Like you never know what's going to happen next. And also too, it sounds like being able to have the confidence within yourself is the biggest key because being able to be confident in you and your story and what you have to offer, then you can reach out to anybody, any organization and say, here's what I have to offer. Here's what I can do for your audience. Here's the number. So quick question, because we have Miyoko, he's like, here, I'll show his comment. He's like, he started by modeling. Great stuff, you two. Truly utilizing your experiences, your value, and how to combine those in a way you can benefit your audience. Great stuff. Yay!
Hey, Miyoko, so,
quick question. When it comes to, say, like somebody has experience, they've done the, you know, they've gotten the testimonials, they feel confident in what they have to speak on. How do they identify what their rates should be? Like, how would they pick the rates? They're just starting out. They want to reach out to the school or this organization. What do they put in that pitch?
All right. So, you know, this is how I always work it. So first of all, the thing with public speaking is that it's a form of selling. The principles that apply to making a sales presentation are the same principles that apply to speaking in public. So the more people believe in you, the more they're likely to be persuaded by you. So I always get people to talk about what they've done. And then mm-hmm. once you get people to talk about what you've done and you've gotten to the point where they're already eating at your fingers and like, man, okay, that's mm-hmm. that's exactly what it is. You know, they ask you where your rate is. And I normally, for any beginner, can start off at 1,000, right? 1,000 is, mm-hmm. obviously it fluctuates and people will go lower. But, you know, stand into like 1,000 to, you know, 2,000 or so, 1,500.
And for a 1 hour talk? Or yeah, how long?
For like for an mm-hmm. hour, you know, whatever. And then it's, you know, and then it goes down. Sometimes some schools say, I don't have any budget. And if some schools say they don't have any budget, what I've done mm-hmm. in the past is, okay, fine. What is the, you know, when I ask them what the threshold is, and then yep. I'll also have them do something like maybe I'll provide the presentation to you in some PDF format that they subscribe mm-hmm. to, and then you build your newsletter that way. Or if you have a book, you know, could you buy part, you know, half of the book and we mm-hmm. can go down lower? Or if you have a service, could you, you know, you find a way to do that. But initially, a lot of organizations, if you can start off, the 750, 1,000 is a good starting off range for a beginner, and then you can go off from there. Yeah, and that's usually the beginner rate. But yeah, one point I wanted to make though, the most influential communicators are very clear because they've lined up their thoughts, words, and actions to the things that matter most to them. That's what a personal philosophy is all about. And so with what Amanda was trying to point out with her story yesterday, it's the same sort of thing. It's a story or thoughts or words and actions. And with me, once mm-hmm. I started to begin the process of re-owning my story and really becoming confident in the fact that it didn't matter what other people were saying about my age, my identity, I needed to really just take control of what my thoughts, my words, and actions were. Then I started to have more confidence because I was writing for my truth. I was speaking for my truth. And ultimately, yep. that's what added to my credibility. And so whenever I pitched to people, I said, look, I'm this guy that is exactly your target audience that has gone through what a lot of you people are going through. And this is how I've flipped that switch. So, yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, to answer that question, it's 1,000. Start off with that and then go up and down based on what they say.
Perfect. And also, too, just so you guys are aware, like Tayo pointed out something really huge as well when it comes to creating that speaker package is adding some value into it outside of you just giving your talk. So whether that is consulting or whether that is, you know, your book or whether that is like X amount of whatever courses like you're going to sell, like make it something that's really valuable to the organization that you're selling to. So we have some questions down below. Pam Ortiz said, how do you stand out? How do you position yourself as the European thing as you?
Okay, so this is the thing. Everybody's doing very, very many similar things, but there's no other Pam Ortiz, there's no Ty Roxin, there's no Amanda Rivera. And it's very important. That's why it's very important to start with your own story. So one of the exercises in later in the week is going to talk about this. Whenever you identify a problem you want to solve, right?
Yep.
You need to then find your relationship with that problem. So my relationship with the problem I was trying to solve was, I was at that point where I was a 10-year-old kid. We didn't know how to communicate cross culture. So you asked me my friends. And the way that mm-hmm. I needed to find a way to build friends was come up with several things. I mean, you find the connectors, figure out what works, what doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so I basically spoke from my truth. And that's what's going to happen. I think there's this myth about speaking industry that if someone's already speaking in the industry, I can't do that. But there's a Tony Robbins, there's a Mel Robbins, and they're both the mm-hmm. highest paid. They're both the highest paid in the industries. And if you look deeper, they speak essentially about a lot of the same things. But Mel has her spin with the 5-second rule. That's what she calls hers. And Tony has his own thing with you know his events and all that. But if you look at that
and like peak performance and all that,
it's always the same messages. But don't underestimate that people. Me and one of my business partners, Sandra. Whenever we go to speak, I can't tell you how many people come to us just because I'm Nigerian and she's Colombian. Like, it doesn't matter that they heard the message from someone else. It's because they said, I identify with your story as an immigrant. I identify with your story as a guy or a black man. Yeah, yeah. don't underestimate that. And that's why I started my story with me living that military dictatorship. There could be someone that might have only heard that and said, I'm listening to Tyre now because no one else understands what that is. So start off with your story and talk about your relationship with that, and then you go from there. I live in Carolina. This is that. Yeah, I mean, Yamil, I will start off with that. I mean, sometimes you might have to go lower if depends on if that's the case. But I mean, 1,000 if you're going to corporation is pretty standard. But then, I've also done things where it's 500. But I think with any speaking engagement, you've got to be strategic, right? I've done many free speeches where I know that's where my target audience is. Like, for example, I do a lot of diversity and inclusion. I could go to events, Society for Human Resource Management, and I know that a lot of HR professionals there, and I know if I focus on delivering value, they're all the 20 to 100 people that are there are potential clients, and they're people that have my information and I have their information, and they've already heard me speak, so the barrier to pitch to them and them to go to the CEO is already lowered, and so it's a long-term play. Yeah, yeah. If you're in speaking for money, it's going to hurt you so much in the mindset game. But if you're in speaking to help and to solve a problem, you're going to be able to help the patients because you're going to understand that what you're doing is ultimately going to provide value. And that's what it is. A speaker's mindset is different from just a regular mindset because you understand. I want every speaker to understand that when you go to speak and you grace a stage, you have a very tangible opportunity to change the world in some way. You have a tangible opportunity to impact someone's experience. That's why TED Talks are so valuable. I mean, that's what they're sold on. They're giving you a new idea. So what is your thing that you're doing? And think of it from that point of view. So
awesome. And then we also have a question from Hannah, and she says, what do you think of just holding your own event?
I love it. That's a great idea as well. That's another way to hack the system. If you own your own event, if you're able to just do that, one, it gives you practice, it gives you footage, it gives you, but it also gives you sort of a way for you to workshop your ideas. But also, if someone is in your attendance of your event, they can then, become your referrals. But your best marketing tool is your last speech. So, so whenever you have an opportunity to speak in front of people that need your wisdom or your love, that take it. I think that's the one thing that I will learn from my experience. I've lived in New York City. While I was focusing on this career, I've had several experiences. I've been fired in the span of, twice in the span of 3 years. Throughout the process, the most consistent thing that I did looking back was podcasting. And that's still the number one thing that I get recognized for. And the reason why my podcast was what launched my career is because I focused so much on providing value. It's also the freest thing I do, but I was able to leverage that into speaking, into consulting, into courses and things like that. And now, I'm at a level where I'm considered a thought leader in the industry of diversity and inclusion and things with cross-cultural competency. But when I first came to New York, I expressed the story. I just came from a near-death experience. So I was just trying to figure it out. And I started from my story, and there's no telling what will happen from your story if you do your work, listen to your audience, and continue to provide value, because many times they sort of even pointed things out that I didn't even realize. So
it's so huge. And also too, like, what's unique about your story and the work that you're doing is it comes back to the passion and the heart, right? Like, you could have been an expert on any number of topics, but you chose a topic that really spoke to you and really moved you. Yeah. And so my question for you is, when you first start your speaking career, how do you pick speaker topics that make your heart sing, but are also marketable organizations you want to speak at?
Absolutely. That's a great question, Amanda. your competitors are your best friends in this. So this, this is another thing you can do. So if you're in it, this is why, Pam, this is also another question. So if you have a lot of competitors, this also means your topic is hot. You look at those, go to speaker bureaus, speaker bureau websites, or your competitors, and look up those. They have a lot of tags like education, entrepreneurship, all this, and look up the topics within there. And a lot of times I've looked up the topics and like, oh, that's I can speak about that. That's exactly what I would say. It's worded in that way. And that gives you an idea of how things are being worded. And then whenever you go to a business, you're pitching yourself, you're like, yes, I can speak on that. Because there, a lot of times these topics, they're not, there's no copyright to the topics. It's just a matter of giving you a sense of what the industry is buzzing about. You know, for me, it's like unconscious bias. So get your competitors, your best friends with these type of things. And, you know, for me, I was looking at people in similar industries, and I would go to all these speaker bureaus, and I'll just be able to motivate it into that. And then you eventually get to the level, Brandon Broussard. went through a similar thing, twist and and so
oh my gosh.
That's all season and
love this comment, Yamil. Oh my gosh, with their sazon or seasoning.
Yeah.
Yes, girl.
it's so funny at what you find, because once you're able to workshop those things, your ideas begin to pop up. Like the idea of I'll tell you the story of use your difference to make a difference. So that's my line. That's what my business is. You know, my business is called UID. That's the foundation of that. I was writing an article. This is around the time of I don't know if anyone knows Nico and Vince, but they had a song called "Am I Wrong?" Right, and it was one of the popular summer songs when it first came out. And I was like, oh man, this song. I listened to them. I saw the video. I was like, man, these are two black cats doing their thing. And then I just assumed they were from, I don't know, East LA or something. And then I looked them up, and they were like, Norwegian. And I was so disappointed in myself that I made that assumption without doing the research. And they were actually Norwegian because they weren't tall, white, you know, blonde, blue eyed. They were, you know, African immigrants in Norway. And I was like, man, you're the last person to do that, because you're like the person that everyone thinks is African American, but it's not African American. And so I sort of did this meta experience, this meta blog, where I wrote the blog from the perspective of the song. The song was saying, am I wrong for daring to be myself, right? To step outside the box. And then I was writing about that, the lyrics, and dissecting it while writing about their background and my experience with me assuming that they were Norwegian. And at the end of that, the whole message of the blog post was, I think we all need to learn how to use our differences to make a difference. And I left it alone. Hit send, and then I went back to read it again, and I was like, "What the? Use your difference." I was like, "What the?" I wrote "use your difference to make a difference," and then I just started to really test it out more, and I just started to say it out more, and more people started to resonate with that, and people were like, "Yeah, you know, I feel, even though I'm not a third culture kid or TCK, I have a difference," and I was like, you know, and so you don't know what happens as you start to work, you know, with your story, or you write things down, because things just happen. Magic happens, and you sort of get a tagline, and then, you know, you have your own thing. So that was the story of the tagline with that. But
it's huge.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Huge. Yes, we finally heard that story.
Yeah, it came from a blog post, man.
And I mean, like, speaking about that song too, what's so powerful about it, because that song, one of my best friends, that was like our song for the longest time. Yeah. When we were first starting out with our businesses, it's funny that you bring this up, speaking of use your difference to make a difference, and how telling our stories creates opportunities for connections. That was a song that me and my best friend, like, we would listen to on repeat whenever we were like, you know, stressed out in our business or wondering if we were going to make it or anything like that. Yeah. So connection points, man. Connection. Yeah.
it's great. Yeah. I mean, when you figure out things you love, I'm the guy that's known for loving like human stories, right? That's why This Is Us is like my favorite show, or One Tree Hill, or any of these superhero characters that are able to capture that. But it's the same thing with music for me. Whenever I hear a song and that captures what I'm feeling that moment, I go with that. And I use that in all my speeches. That's why, you know, sometimes when you hear me talk, a lot of times you hear a lot of personal stories. And so I never underestimate your raves and rants. Once again, that's why we ask to do those things. The simplest things that you love, there's a connection to why you love that and use that in your speaking, because I would not be able to speak the way a Tony Robbins or an E.T. speaks. I'm a loud guy. I'm a loud guy. But my style is different from them. It would feel very inauthentic if you heard me, cussing Tony Robbins, because that's authentic to him. But I'm always looking for the deeper meaning. And so that's why I was writing a blog post about a song that meant something to me and dissecting that. But that's the way I speak as well. And so, and many people speak about motivation and diversity and inclusion, but I speak about it from a meaning and a personal inside out job. Miyoko's here, inside job.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's what it is.
Yeah. And you know, what's also so unique about this too, is like my big two mentors are like Glennon Doyle Melton and Gabrielle Bernstein. And they approach the same topics, but differently. Different ends of the spectrum. And so they have different audiences, but they can still motivate, and they can still speak to the heart, and they can still create transformations for people just by sharing their story and sharing their different perspectives. Yeah. Like, knowing your rants and raves and knowing how you show up in the world, you don't have to be like some guru or like everybody else to make an impact. In fact, showing up as you, whether it's you're the more like deep serious type, or whether you're the more goofy funny type, or whether you're a mixture of both, or not even like that at all, there's going to be an audience that really vibes with it and wants to support that. So
yeah. The greatest is off of that.
Yes.
You know something, Amanda? So let me paint the timeline. So when I first started, I was only talking about third culture kids and TCKs because that's who I am. It then evolved, the market and me started to evolve, where they were telling me, hey, it's a little more, right? The diversity and inclusion, because we can learn something from your experience being different. So like, hey, how about you try and tell that story on a larger front? And then what happened was, we had the Brexit, we had the recent elections, all these things. People were like, I've heard you do that for years. I believe you. Your credibility is there. Can you just explain that on a larger outset? And then the other thing was, entrepreneurs are looking at me and saying, hey, we sort of seen you sort of carve this career out of almost your personal story. Can you give us the blueprint for that? And so a lot of times we get bogged down in the idea like, oh, I don't have my own thing. I don't have my own thing. But if you start off with your thing first, it can always expand, because you have enough of a foundation where the next graduation makes sense. And so I didn't necessarily.
And that's why in our program we talk about making your thing a thing. Like, we don't have a cookie cutter like personal branding method or anything like that, because it's all about making your thing a thing. Like, whatever it is that you're here to speak on, whatever it is that you're here to do, like.
Yeah.
Do it. Like, don't, this is so huge. And this comes back to speaking. And I think you do an amazing job on this as well, is not listening to what everybody else is doing and zigging when others zag. So not stepping into a box and making your own ocean, right? And just making it a thing. And showing up and being the expert in it, and having the podcast around it, and speaking on it, and reaching out to organizations saying like, hey, your organization needs to hear this. Here's how I can help you. Here's how I can support you. So if anybody that's watching this and is feeling actually put a heart in the comment section below, if you identify with this, that maybe you have an idea for a business, or maybe you're doing a certain business and you're not sure whether how you can start getting speaking opportunities for it. And you're like, how am I supposed to package it in a way that's marketable? Put a heart in the comment section below if you've ever felt like that, because we want to see like how many people like feel like that. And also too, just create opportunities for people to just show up more as themselves. The more you show up as yourself, the more people respond to it, and the more the perfect audience is meant to show up for you.
That's what people that's what people are attracted to. And so I want there's some things I want to help you out with here, listening. So if you need mission, if you're looking for your mission, vision related questions, so I'll have you ask yourself these three questions. So who am I? Very vague, very, you know, where am I going? And then, do my thoughts and words align with those three questions? Do they align? So who am I? Where am I going? Do my thoughts and words align with those previous two questions? And these are things I'm always asking myself whenever I'm making a decision, right? So if it's a shiny opportunity, that's what you ask yourself. And then to finding your purpose, discover what is causing your fixed mindset. That's the first thing. Discover what excites you. And then the third thing is become a problem solver and let that align with the other two. So discover what's causing your fixed mindset. Is it your parents? Is it your friends? Is it your your perceived idea of what it is? Discover what excites you. You know, become an active note taker or mental note taker of what gets you excited throughout the day. I'm like, I got excited because she smiled, or I got excited when the news, you know, whatever those things. The key's there. And then become a problem solver. Once you start to do that, you know, and you start to do that and you surf in that way, you're able to get closer to your goal, even if you're not quite sure. I mean, with me, you know, Amanda's story was different, you know, from my story. And, but you know, what you end up doing is you build your authenticity. So you build your credibility, but you also build your relatability. And that's the, those are the two marks of a great speaker: credibility, relatability. It's why I could find myself in Oprah, why I was sitting down and watching Oprah as a 10, 11, 12-year-old kid, and I thought I was one of the audience members. It's why you know, Nelson Mandela, you know, in South Africa, me in Nigeria, I was like, I identify with the struggle because I know what he's doing, and he's doing this from himself. So that's how you build that. So I hope, you know, throughout the day, you know, Amanda and I have been able to sort of walk you through the process of starting with your story, owning your story, but also making sure you structure your environments in such a way where they feed and water the growth of whatever that potential of you is will be. And then once that person you become actualizes, there's a certain level of bravery and courage that comes with that, because at that point, many times, especially when you get older, you've become accustomed to things you're supposed to do. And so your job now is to break the supposed to syndrome and decide, no, I'm still going to do this because I've done all this work.
Yeah, we're brainwashed to be logical and to sit down and to shut up and be quiet. Like, to use our voices, speak loud, and, you know, do what our heart says.
Yeah, and you've got to push through, because think of it as a race. Yes, you know, people will be winning now because they got the degrees and they're doing what they feel like they're supposed to do. And you might be behind because you decided to jump. But what happens is you start to, you know, you pass them because you're growing and they've stagnated. And once you've grown, there's no putting you down. And the thing with failure is that failure is not a bad thing. It's the best thing. It's how you grow. Failure is structured practice. And whenever you're practicing, whenever you're at the gym, you're lifting those weights, curling those weights, you're like, oh, I can't do the 12 reps. But I know that by day 7, I'll get there. You're still doing it because you know that you want to break through that plateau. And so if you're chasing your dreams, think of it as structured practice as well. You shoot all those shots in the gym because you want to get better at making threes. So you should get better at being yourself so that whenever those moments happen that are pushing you and trying to tempt you, they're like, you know what, monster? You know what, buddy? I'm myself. I'm still going to push through because I'm me. All right, this is I'm back.
We have a question from Emilia. Let me like find it. Let's scroll down. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So people are calling for me to go speak for free. I'm game, but when and how do I start charging? So Emilia is saying, like, she's already getting asked for free opportunities. She's getting experience, but when is, she's like, but when and how do I start charging?
Okay, great question. You know, mm-hmm. so if you could do, I don't know if you have videos or any of recording, but what you want to start doing mm-hmm. with your initial free things is after you've done one or two, you can start charging, by the way. Or after you've done one, you can charge. It doesn't matter. If you do something one really, really well, there are people that their first talk was a TEDx talk and they launched a career. But what I want you to do is to find a way to record yourself and I'm sure you're amazing. So record yourself doing that and get great testimonies from that audience, because that is what you then use to pitch the other to other organizations and say, but you have to be proactive, by the way, because no one knows who they don't know. So you have to make yourself known. And that's why it's important to work on the channels you're sending your messages and have something that's tangible that they can see. And so when I'm pitching people sometimes to go organizations, I give them my bio. Mm-hmm. This is who I am. This is what I've done. And I'll send them a video of my TEDx talk, and say, like, this is an example of me speaking. And so what I'm doing is lowering the barrier for them to say no, because they can see something credible there. And so, take one of those, take two of those, get better at that, and then make sure you have quality content from that, and then start using that to leverage the paid speaking opportunities. You can start.
That's huge. Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to laugh at this, guys. Like, I'm going to share something with you just because we're on this topic. My first speaking gig was actually paid. My first ever speaking opportunity was a paid speaking opportunity. And it happened because I was consistently doing Facebook Lives and providing value. And so I guess those were like my mini free speaking opportunities. The host of the event reached out and was like, hey, I love your Facebook Lives. I love the content you're putting out there. Can I have you keynote? And he asked like, oh, have you ever had experience, keynoting or doing a talk? And the most experience I had was doing like a little mini workshop, like in front of like two people or three people here and there back in Dallas when I was like, let me just, people come hang out with me. I'm going to start talking about this stuff. But when you provide lots of value to your community and start getting comfortable with sharing your voice and your message out there, you never know who's going to reach out to you because they're looking exactly for an expert on that specific topic. So that's why Tayo's example of him doing his podcast primed him perfectly to start pitching and to start getting paid speaking opportunities because he was already talking on this topic on a consistent basis. He was already becoming the expert on this topic. He was already getting super articulate and comfortable around how he could speak on this topic. He was already, interviewing other experts on this topic and learning everything that he could so that when the time came for him to speak in front of an audience, he was ready. So that's what we're going to point out to you guys. Start thinking about what platforms you could start building content on and how you can show up either on video or either on audio and start speaking every week or daily or whatever the schedule is around the topic you want to be on a stage talking on.
Absolutely. And you know what? You just reminded me of I had a similar experience. So this is going to help a lot of people here. So you talked about doing video. I created Nelson Mandela means a lot to me, right? So mm-hmm. Everybody that knows me knows I'm a huge, I cried when he died. That's how much of an influence he was. So one of the anniversaries of his death, I created a video of how Nelson Mandela helped all of us see the bigger picture. I had it on there. And at the time, 80 views, this is where I said it's good for people. 80 views, it wasn't the big, my YouTube audience is growing, but it was not big, it was just 80. And then someone that was putting together a conference for middle school students across 50 students in Massachusetts reached out and said, hey, I just watched your Nelson Mandela video. I wanted to know if you could come do a keynote as well as a workshop on the Nelson Mandela video. And I looked, maybe I got like a million views. Maybe they got that. It was still 80, or 81. And I was like, yeah. So she found value in that. And then that led to a keynote as well as a workshop. The other thing was I had written something a while ago. This is well into my podcasting career on Huffington Post. This is like when Huffington Post is Huffington Post. So I wrote like 14 ways to embrace a global identity based on my my experience. And this German publisher reached out to me and said, "Hey, you know, we found your article. We want to, you know, turn it into a textbook as you know, part of a textbook. Can we get you permission? You know, we're going to accomplish that." I'm like, I was like, "Wait, what?" He's like, "Yeah, we just came across it. We were looking at the article. We did some research on you." And so I'm saying all this to say you don't know where your opportunities will come, but if you're not putting out content and if you're hiding things because you think you're giving out too much free stuff, you're not going to be able, you know, you're not going to be able to get there, because all of you are all thought leaders. You're experienced. You're great at that. But everything you have right now that's done for free can be used and leveraged. Just make sure you do your due diligence to either collect reviews, get tangible results. If you coach people for free, like if you have a beta program, have them give you results and say, "This is what I've done." Put that on your website. Don't take advantage. Don't take any situation for granted. So that's that. I'm glad we're kicking your butt, Miyoko. That's what we're
And to answer Miyoko's thing, because I think it's going even deeper than that. So if you've ever wondered what type of content to put out there that would position you for speaking opportunities, so that would make people start to think, "Hey, I should reach out to this expert or this thought leader because they would be a perfect fit to speak on stage or to do a keynote." Video and audio helps people hear your voice.
Yeah.
Helps people imagine you speaking and talking on a stage. Written content is amazing. It's good. But written content, people can't see, people can't hear your stage presence. They can't imagine you on a stage speaking. When you do video, they could see your body language. They could see how you hold yourself. They could see how you speak. So your tonality, they can hear all these things that like people who are creating an event need to know about their speakers on who they're going to choose. Same with audio. Like audio, they can hear your voice, they can hear your tonality, they can hear your tone, they can hear your pitch, they can hear whether you stutter, like all these different things. And so if you are a speaker or you want to be a speaker and you want to make this part of your career, really start adding video and start adding audio into your content strategy like ASAP. We're in January. This could be your new 2018 marketing strategy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And before we wrap up, another way to hack, if you're not an expert in something, but you're passionate. Let me say that again. If you're not an expert in something, but you're passionate in something, be the platform for the thing that you're passionate about. Like, so I read a lot of books, right? Everybody knows I went through 57 last year. I'm on my 8th book this year, right? And so you can create a platform where you either you become the guy interviewing or the lady interviewing people, and you basically give a bunch of thought leaders in the industry, "Hey, I'm curious about your answer to that." And that does a few things. It positions you as someone in the same space as them, but it also gives you insights that you can use on stage, you can use to create a white paper, you can use to whenever you get consulting opportunities, but you will hack yourself to growth because you're stroking the ego of this thought leader by saying, "I consider you someone I respect and I want you on here." And you're being affiliated with them because, you know, they were like, "Oh, okay, I searched this guy, but then I saw this person, and then, oh, he has or she has another bunch of that." And what happens is within a year or 2 years, even though you thought you're not an expert, you have more information than the average layman or laywoman because you've already had the benefit of having an education. I've done over 300 episodes of my podcast, and I always say that that's more. I have an MBA. Like, I always said that's more than anything I got from my MBA because it's amazing.
Same, I didn't get shit from my master's program.
So don't underestimate your power. Yeah, I'm glad that you validated that. But first of all, I'm nothing against school because I do think school is great. But I'm just saying that you can.
It was a lot of theory. That's what it was. Yeah. It was a lot of theory.
Yeah.
Once you start putting into practice, you're like, okay, let me see what's working in like 2017, 2018 now.
Exactly. Me and Amanda are not that bitter about school. Yeah. But through that, so even if you're not, you don't think you're an expert, you're in a year or two or 6 months from now, you're going to have something that you can leverage. And the idea of being an expert is very subjective. You could go to the nearby Chambers of Commerce or mm-hmm. the local university and say, hey, I want to speak in entrepreneurship. I have 20,000, you know, I've done 20 interviews with this. This is the insight I've gotten. Yeah. I feel like it'd be a great audience. You build on that. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Miyuka's like, yes, Jamil, they are torching up the place. Video content being an example of how you are on the stage is the biggest takeaway for me. That's a game changer. Yeah. And like also, Miyuka, just give you some like bonus tips for video marketing, because I've personally been diving deep into it as well. Marshall Gillen, he's like a Facebook Live expert in this group. Yeah. I've been following his stuff too. What I've been diving deep into is Facebook Live, because Facebook Live has great reach on Facebook. Have been diving deep into this app. It's called InShot. And so I've been creating like meme videos on, so M-E-M-E videos. So that's where you see like the two bars around the Instagram video, and you have like the content describing what it is. And that has high engagement on Instagram, and it also has high engagement on Facebook. So on all social media platforms, you can see video right away. Because speaking opportunities have consistently come through social media platforms. And so I just make it easier for that host or that speaker of that event to know right off the bat that I could be someone who can speak at their event, because they can quickly click on a video and be like, oh, this is how this person speaks. So definitely check that out. And it's called InShot if you want to start creating meme videos in your video marketing strategy.
No, that's exactly it. And so as we're wrapping up, remember, what's the question? Let me answer this question. I think BB had a question.
Come on, computer. Okay. Can you podcast and video the same content? Is it wise to do so?
Absolutely. You can do it. It is. You can. that's the other thing that people underestimate. Gary Vee does this, right? He does it with the show.
Lewis Howes.
Yeah, Lewis Howes does this, but Gary Vee does this. There are people that do this all the time, so you definitely can. There are certainly some things that are suited for video if you're doing all those visual things. But if you have something, feel free to, you know, repurpose. Many people go as far as even doing the transcript as the, you know, because people read and understand things in different ways.
Yeah, as a blog post. Yeah.
But so as we're wrapping up, please, you know, once again, we're grateful for over 500 members. That's crazy to us. That's over 500 people.
I know, we're full grown.
Yeah. But write down your three lessons that you learned from this talk, and then write that under your post, your day two post.
Miyuka had a question too. He was like, how do you create the meme videos? That's a million-dollar question. It's an app called InShot. So InShot, and you can literally create, it's an app, so you can create it on your phone to answer that question.
Yeah, right. I didn't even know that. Yeah. But what's the day two challenge, Amanda?
So day two challenge. Dun, 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 dun. The day two challenge is around identifying your unique audience transformation code. So what is going to be the thing that sets them off to have the most impactful transformation of their life? So we all remember events that we've been to where we're just like, oh, that speaker was so motivating and inspiring. But the events that really transform us is they not only motivate and inspire us, but they also inspire us to create action after the event. So the most transformational speakers are the ones who not just give you like, here's some inspiration, feel good about yourself. They're not just the feel good ones, but they're providing amazing content and really deep strategies and focus so that you can immediately take action after you listen to them speak. So that's what our challenge was for today, so that when you're creating your signature speech, you understand from the get-go, like, what's the intention behind the speech that you're creating and what type of result you want to help create for your audience.
Exactly. What problem, mm-hmm. what problem are you solving? How are you guiding the audience from point A to point B? And then, write that down. So we talked about rants and raves yesterday. Today is about identifying that problem you're solving. Even if it's like the millionth person that wants to solve that problem, just write it down. And then, underneath that, write your three lessons that you learned from today's talk.
Yeah, and Tayo dropped a lot of truth bombs, so put like a lot. You'd be like, need to have like 3 pages worth.
You're far too kind. I'm just trying to be a full grown individual.
Exactly. So if you guys have any questions at all, feel free to leave them in the comment section below. And also comment the 3 things that you learned from this talk onto your daily challenge posts. Daily challenges and replays are all on the pinned post in this group. So if you're looking for where all the replays and the challenges are at any given time throughout this challenge, they're all on the pinned post in this Facebook group. And it's just one pinned post. It's super easy to get to. And so before we close off, 1, how can people stay connected with you, Tayo? And then 2, what is the 1 thing that you feel in your heart you really need to share with this audience before you go?
your favorite question. You can stay connected with me, my digital home, tayoroxon.com. My podcast, As Told by Nomads. Definitely please subscribe, leave reviews. Would love to hear your thoughts on that. Basically one of my favorite things to do. But as far as what I want to leave the audience with, I think a lot of times I think there are 2 reasons why people don't believe they can change the world, right? It's the fixed mindset and an exclusive worldview. And a lot of times when we have fixed mindsets and we have exclusive worldviews, we are our own enemies. We don't allow ourselves to grow. And so what I want to challenge you all today to do is examine what are your limits and beliefs? Examine all those things out and put them out there, have them, pop them off in your head and basically lay them out on the table and say that you're not going to allow them to limit you anymore. And then dare to step outside of your comfort zone and expose yourself to different environments. Because I think what happens is as you transform from a limited mindset, fixed mindset to a growth mindset, and you put yourself in a position where you're the minority, you're a different person, you learn a lot about yourself. And what you learn about yourself through challenges, what you learn about yourself through challenges is ultimately what defines you as a thought leader. Because if you exist in a comfort bubble, you're never going to grow. And if you never grow, you're never going to be able to transform the audience that you want to transform. And so, break out of your fixed mindsets and expose yourself to different environments. Those are the things that I'll leave the audience with.
Yes. Yes. What's up? Loving it. So thank you so much for hopping on this call today. It's weird because like usually we're both like interviewing and so today you're the guest. So now I'm like, thank you for hopping on this call today. No, but seriously, thank you for sharing in this community and thank everybody that's been on this call and that's in this Facebook community. We've really created a tribe here. We've created a space for entrepreneurs to really share what's happening in their lives, to share their different strategies that they're coming across, and to share their mission and just feel really supported. So let's keep that going. And if you have unique wisdom to share, share it. Like, we love hearing your expertise. Like, come into this group, teach us something. Yeah. I think that's a challenge that we want to make sure that is the overarching in this group is come in here to teach. Definitely come in here to teach, learn.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And more information on Thought Leader Academy will be in the link below. But if you have a voice, you have a message that you feel like you've always had, you just need help reframing it and turning that and leveraging that into visibility into an opportunity for you to create your own movements. That's what we want to do. That's what I want to help you do. That's truly what we feel like we're called to do, to really build the next set of global leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And that enrollment for that ends on the 14th.
Yeah. So definitely get in if you feel like in your heart, you're like, I need to join like a dream mastermind. I need to join a community of people who are like-minded, who are on the path of turning 2018 into being the year that I'm going to be a speaker. I'm going to be in featured in media and I'm going to have a profitable online business. This is the community and this is the tribe for you. So it's ran by your mentors, Tyra Roxton and myself. And we're creating an amazing millennial focus entrepreneur school to help you grow and share your mission into the world.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. But ladies and gentlemen, as we proceed to give you what you need, only give you what you need. I want to make sure that you all remember the personal worth and value that you have. Till next time, till tomorrow, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.